Okay, let's turn our Bibles tonight to our beginning text. We'll start there again tonight, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I will build my church. As we look at the New Testament, we look at principles, the truths on which Jesus built the church. And of course, this is the New Testament church. This is the New Testament local church. And this is what the disciples did. They went and they started churches. And people in the Bible, when they got saved, they became a part of a New Testament church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Bible says that in Jerusalem, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so we find that right there, Pentecost, the pattern, that those who received the word of God, who repented, they were baptized and added to the church. And we see that throughout the Bible. That's just what they did. Now, nowadays, you don't see it. What changed? God change? Did the truth change? Did God's plan change? What must be the difference? The hardness of people's hearts. The hardness of people's hearts. The grip of self upon the lives of people. That can be the only thing that has changed. It can't be God's plan. Can't be the truth. Can't be God. Can't be God's will. Has to be the hardness of the hearts of people. Now, in that church, we see that one of the foundational principles of the church, of course, is salvation. The Lord added to the church such as should be saved. And we're not going to spend much time on that tonight, but obviously, the foundation of the church is the fact that people are saved. Now, it's kind of interesting, as you remember, we talked about this on Sunday a little bit. A.W. Tozer was talking about the mega church with their rock music and their worldly entertainment. And he said, well, people say, well, we're reaching people through this worldly stuff. And then A.W. Tozer said, really? Reaching them for what? Reaching them for self-denial? Reaching them for holiness? Reaching them for surrender to Christ? Reaching them for total commitment? I think what he's implying is that the Christ that many people are receiving today isn't the same Christ that's in the Bible. And the conversion isn't the same either. Worldly methods bring worldly births. But in Acts chapter 2, we have an insight into the daily life of the church, and we want to start there. And you'll think, man, Pastor, you've been on this verse every time. Well, this good verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, a church is about a commitment to truth. The foundation stone in Christ is the truth. The truth of the Bible. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm sorry, chapter 2. We haven't gotten there yet. We will be in our memory. Hope you're memorizing Ephesians chapter 2. And says there in Ephesians 2 verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What is that talking about? Well, it is through the apostles and prophets that the word of God was given. The word of God was given through the apostles and prophets. That's the foundation of the church. Truth, the Bible. Turn with me to Matthew 28. You know, when people's commitment to a church is based on personality and it's based on popularity and it's based on things like that, well, that isn't going to be a very much a stable environment. Because that's not a good reason. And that does not produce a unity in a church. But the foundation of the church is truth, doctrine, the Bible. Now look at chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you've been around here very long, you know that that word in is the Greek word that is normally translated what? Unto. Unto. Or into. it's not the same word as pray in the name of Jesus. It's not the same word, pray in the name of Jesus, which means to pray in his authority. This in is the word that speaks of identification. And so a person is baptized in identification with the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, obviously, the key truth that distinguishes the Christian in the New Testament era from the Jew and from heathen is the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. The three persons of the Godhead. And in a summary form, people are baptized in identification with Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine. And a person, obviously, a person who is in a United Pentecostal church, have the wrong doctrine. United Pentecostal Church, they have modalistic Sabellianism. They don't believe in the Trinity. They say Jesus is the Father, and Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And so they baptize in the name of the Lord. And they try to get people all twisted up on that. But you know what? That's wrong doctrine. And that baptism isn't baptism at all, because it's wrong doctrine. And so we have the very initiation into the church, salvation, testimony of salvation, and believer's baptism is based on a doctrinal statement of faith. Now, is that why people go to Bible-believing churches today? Because of truth? Well, probably that would be a good reason you would come here. But that's not why people go to most churches today. They don't care about truth. They care about all sorts of other things. But the church is about truth. You know, I hear someone say, talk to someone and they say, well, so-and-so, you know, they really love the Lord, but they go such and such place. And I say, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? You know what? Truth doesn't mean much to people nowadays. But Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. The church is based on truth. The Bible. It's the foundation. Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. In verse number 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Of in the Bible speaks of birth, genetics. For if they had been of us, same genetics as us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or obvious that they were not all of us. Genetics. But you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. What is he saying? He's saying that the church had the truth. And those that were influenced by the Antichrist and were of the Antichrist left the truth. Why'd they leave the truth? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because, you know, maybe because the one of the deacons said a corny joke. And they don't like corny jokes. And so they left. No, that's not why they left. That was the excuse why they left. Why'd they leave? Because they didn't believe the truth. They didn't believe the truth. They weren't there because of truth. They were there for the wrong reason. And notice it says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. How do you know the truth? Well, it's not talking about knowing the truth, every bit of it intellectually. It means to know the truth means to be able to recognize the truth. You understand what I'm saying? When you say, well, you know, someone says, I know a con artist when I see one. What do they mean by that word know? They mean they know how to recognize one. Right? It says when they know the truth because the Holy Spirit lives within them, they recognize the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that we always like the truth. Right? We don't always like the truth. We may not like always to hear it preached. But we know it's the truth. We know it's the truth. You know, the difference between a person who is saved and unsaved is the unsaved person doesn't know if the preacher is telling the truth or not. They don't have that ability. To them, it's what any, you know, it's every man for himself. But when a person is saved and they have the Holy Spirit in them and they are right with God and the truth is preached, what does the Holy Spirit say? That's the truth. That's the truth. And the foundation of the New Testament church is truth. I was talking to a man, a doctor, and I figured out by the conversation he was saved. And he told me he had been a missionary at one time and told me what church he had been a missionary with. And then he told me what church he was going to. He was going to a pedo-baptist church, a church that sprinkles babies. And I thought, what is he doing there? He knows that's not right. He knows that that isn't the truth. He knows the Bible doesn't teach that. So do you think truth was the most important thing in his thinking? Nope. Something else was. I don't know what it was that was more important to him than truth. Maybe there's some sin in his life he didn't want to give up. Maybe there's something in the Bible he didn't want to obey. He didn't want to go to that kind of church that preached the whole truth. So truth is a foundational principle of the Bible. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse 12 is talking about the purpose of having a pastor in your church. And it tells us that the job of the pastor, verse 12 of Ephesians, is for the perfecting of the saints. Now the word perfecting is the idea completing. Complete. Okay? What does that mean? Okay? That means this. That we have... Everybody has areas in their life that they need, spiritual needs in their life, they need to be complete, to be mature. You ever wonder why the pastor seems to be picking on you? It's because the job of the pastor is to take a look at his people and say, I see a spot in there that needs to be fixed up. And that needs to be fixed up if they're going to be meet the Lord in the right frame of mind. If they're going to be the right kind of person, they can't have this big blob in their life. It's the word to complete. And so the pastor's job is to complete the people. Okay? To build them up. To mature them. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for... the work of the ministry. Now it tells us why are you here? What is the job of the pastor? Is to perfect you spiritually so you can do what? The work of the ministry. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. So the building up of this church spiritually. The building up of it in power, in godliness, in holiness, in purity, in faith. Then it says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the, what? Faith. What's the unity of the faith? Well, if you look at the context, you know what it means. It says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. What's wind of doctrine? What's wind of doctrine? It's the things that people believe that just blow around. Okay? So, 1792, every congregational church in the city of Boston, except one, became Unitarian. You know why? Because that was the popular doctrine, Unitarianism. Oh, everybody believes that? Must be right. Is that how you judge what's right? Okay, all the ladies around, ladies used to wear dresses, you know, but now most ladies don't wear dresses, so it's not the truth anymore. That's how people are, right? They're tossed by every wind of doctrine. You know? Okay? It used to be wrong to have rock music in the church. But everybody's doing it nowadays. Must be okay. Well, what's the problem? problem is people don't base their life on truth. They base their life on what's popular. You know, how do you, hey, young person, let me ask a question. How are you going to base what you believe? Okay, you come to this church, and most people believe such and such. But let me tell you what, you're going to go somewhere else. Maybe you'll go to camp, and you'll find that, you know, most people there don't believe that. Do you change what you believe? Just because truth is based on how many people believe it and how many people around you believe it? No. Do you know that Athanasius in 325 A.D., of all the big name theologians, Athanasius was the only theologian that believed in the Trinity. The only one. That must have made the Trinity wrong, right? Because he's the only one that believed it. All the other big name theologians in AD 325 didn't believe in the Trinity. What would you have believed if you lived in 325 A.D.? Would you have believed the truth because it's in the Bible? Or would you have believed what everybody else believed because they were in the majority? The foundation of the church is based on truth. Truth never changes. Truth never changes. Isn't it amazing that fundamental churches 50 years ago, there's a lot of things they used to believe differently. I wonder what changed, the Bible or them or the wind? I think it's the wind. Winds start blowing out a different direction, so everybody started changing their beliefs. So, we have a number of illustrations in the Bible that the foundation of the church, on which Christ is building the church, is truth. Do you know the Bible? Is the Holy Spirit living in you? And are you right with the Holy Spirit? So you can discern the truth. Or when someone that claims to be a Christian believes something different, are you thrown for a big loop? Is your faith shaken by somebody else who believes differently and has big arguments about it, or a strong voice, or a lot of people are doing it? The church that Jesus Christ has built throughout the ages is a church built on the truth. That's why the Anabaptist continued, even though the Roman church was in power and they had the sword of the state. And anybody who believed differently than the Catholic Church could easily lose their life. Probably millions did. people like Belshazzar Hubmeier, people like Peter Waldo, many other people. They knew that when they decided that the Bible taught that salvation was a free gift, or that when they got saved, now they had access to God through Jesus Christ. They didn't have to go through a priest. Or that baptism was for believers and by immersion. Or any one of those truths. Or that the Lord's Supper was a remembrance and not a sacrament and not magic. For any one of those truths, they were willing to die. And yes, millions of them did die. And why did they die? They died for the truth. They died for the truth. Wonder, is that what makes the difference in your life? Truth or convenience? What do you believe? What do you believe? You know what? If you're saved, you don't have to believe the truth just because your parent says it's the truth. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you and the Holy Spirit tells you it's the truth. Amen? How old do you have to be saved? How old do you have to be to know the truth? Same age, right? You see, knowing the truth isn't based on being an Einstein. Knowing the truth is based on being saved, having the Holy Spirit, and being willing to pay the price to believe it. And that's the foundation of the church, truth. Let's pray. Father, pray that you'd bless these important lessons that we're having about the church. And Lord, millions in ages past have died for the truth. But today, for most people, that would be foolishness to die for the truth. But yet, Lord, that is one of the great principles by which you build the New Testament church, truth. The truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to just challenge you. Are you a person of truth? Do you love the truth? Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to obey the truth? Is truth important in your life? Is truth important in your life? Are you willing to live or die for the truth? That's a great question today. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart that you need to be a person who's a seeker after the truth. Perhaps you need to come to salvation so you can know the truth. Perhaps you really need to get serious about studying the Bible and getting Bible convictions for your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. Say, you know what? Truth really needs to mean a lot more in my life. Truth is something I need to stand for, truth. And I need to be a lover of truth, the truth of the Bible, and put that at the top of the list of the things that are going to make the difference in my life. And God is speaking to your heart about that in some way, And you need to respond with that great principle and say, Pastor, pray for me. God is speaking to me about being a person of truth. And just by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, I know there's a decision in my heart, even tonight, about being a person who loves and lives and stands for the truth. And just by an uplifted hand, share that decision, that need, that desire in your heart. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Others, okay. Amen. That is such an important thing. Anyone else? God has pinged your heart about that. Okay? Okay. Amen. Lord, now thank you for these truths, this time, and your word. Pray that you would bless, Lord, just this very spirit of the truth of the word of God in our lives. And, Lord, how we know that it is the people of truth throughout the ages that you have led to be the leaders in the things of God and in the work of God. And we bless, Lord, this to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.